May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, as I already mentioned, and as is appropriate on such a day, the gospel tells us about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Notice, though, how wonderfully, strangely succinct today's version of that moment is. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, the Gospel of Mark reads. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. In two verses of Scripture, we cover 40 days, just like that, into the wilderness and right back out. Each liturgical year, the Sunday readings come from a different gospel on a three-year cycle. One year we get Matthew, another year we get Mark, and another year we get Luke. John, for reasons that I won't get into today, is the odd man out. Readings from the Gospel of John are peppered throughout every year. This year, we are in year B, the year of the Gospel of Mark. And compared to the others, Mark likes to keep things brief and simple. It is a slim volume, clocking in at 16 chapters to Luke's 24 and Matthew's 28. It is hard to overemphasize this point. Mark, thought to be the earliest of the Gospels by many, does little to satisfy our curiosity about the details of Jesus' life. We begin the story with John in the wilderness and baptism. No stories of Jesus' birth or childhood, no origin story for John the baptizer himself. Both of these things are covered in other Gospels. Mark is composed of just a few stories about Jesus, the preacher and healer, Jesus' 3 years of earthly ministry. And then it moves into that slow walk over his last few weeks as he climbs the road to Calvary Hill. What are we to make of this strange way of beginning things? Now, I have to tell you, I am strangely grateful for today's brief stint in the wilderness. I would give anything for a wonderfully succinct Lent this year. I want my stay in the wilderness to be as short as possible. Mark's account is a welcome respite when it feels like we have been in a never-ending Lent for the past 12 months. It is worth noting that the first lockdowns took place in the middle of Lent last year. As Phil reminded me earlier this week, we will mark a full year of streaming Sunday services on March 14th. And maybe you are feeling that way too. Maybe you are feeling frayed at the edges, exhausted by the seemingly endless nature of this particular season. The liturgical seasons are meant to be just that, seasons. We are not meant to sit in Lent for a full year. Ash Wednesday is not supposed to be a real-life version of the movie Groundhog Day. Likewise, we are not meant to celebrate Easter all year, or Christmas, or any of the other high feasts of the church. The liturgical seasons are meant to reflect the rhythms of daily life. There is fasting, and then there is feasting, and there is everything in between. There are times of joy as well as times of sorrow. What the church year does is invite us into deeper reflection of these bare facts of life. It invites us into the fullness of these experiences, taking what we can from this journey as we discover what it means to be truly human, what God ultimately intends for us to be. For that reason, I like to remind folks that Lent isn't a season of self-denial for its own sake, as if fasting were the goal in and of itself. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some who would do well to think deeply about letting go of certain things for 40 days, not as a thinly veiled diet or as an exercise in proving your self-worth, but as a call to greater attention to the things that matter. There are others, however, who have had too many things taken from them already. Those who have been taught that making themselves small and insignificant is their proper place in life. If you find yourself among the latter, keep in mind that the goal of Lenten discipline is not self-denial, again, but an attempt to call you deeper, to remind you of your true worth in the eyes of God. To you, I would pose these questions. What lies about yourself is God calling you to let go this year? What truth is God calling you to grab a hold of in this season? What lies is God calling you to let go of this year? What truth is God calling you to grab a hold of this season? Now, I can't tell you which group you fall into. And truth be told, I think all of us find ourselves in both of these groups, both ends of the spectrum, depending on the circumstances. In a world of same-day delivery and ever new ways to consume rather than to enjoy the good gifts that God has given us, it may be worth your time to adopt a fast so that you can face your hunger, your need for distraction, so that you can learn what real presence looks like. And in a society that's set on denigrating the value of the many for the sake of the privileged few, a world where every form of media tells us who is worth our time and who isn't, who is beautiful and who is found lacking, who gets credit for the wealth built on the backs of those who get faulted for society's shortcomings, it may be worth your time to sit and study the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, the one who walked around backwater towns in Galilee and saw God's chosen people among the huddled masses. That, in a nutshell, my friends, may be the invitation the Gospel of Mark offers us today. We begin the story with John the Baptizer, and we end it with Jesus, God's beloved. It is worth noting that both of these adjectives, baptizer and beloved, aren't special titles given to them in the original text. The original text is in all caps and has no spacing, as was the custom in that day, which means that these adjectives aren't special titles conferred upon John and Jesus, these two characters in the story. No, John is simply one who baptizes, and Jesus is simply one whom God calls beloved. And the baptism of John prefigures the baptism every person is invited into by this Jesus of Nazareth, the one who lived and died and rose in glory. This baptism welcomes you into God's family, the one God who calls each of us beloved. Before we get there, however, we must travel the same road that Jesus travels. We die to our old self in order to be born anew. That is another strange thing about the Gospel of Mark. It starts at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, tells us a few stories about his preaching and teaching, and then spends the last third of the gospel on Jesus' last days on earth. Some scholars have called Mark a passion narrative with a long introduction. Mark spends the bulk of his time telling us about the apparent failure of this man's message as he walks that lonely road up to Calvary Hill. We do this every year We walk with Jesus of Nazareth, the one who considered equality with God not as something to be grasped, but humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yes, even death on a cross. He did it so that we may each come face to face with a Lord and Savior who knows our deepest pain, alienation, and humiliation. He did it so that you would know that you are never, ever alone. He did it so that you may know yourself as God's beloved, come what may. May we keep a holy Lent this year. May God grant us the strength we need to come face to face with Jesus, God's beloved. And may we go forth from there, a people made new, a people more truly embodying whom God has called us to be. Amen.